Went to my doctor yesterday for just a follow-up, which means my doctor was running a little short on cash and needed some more money from me. Doctors got to feed their kids, too. I understand that. And I got in there. I said, the doctor said to me, Ron, how you feeling? I said, good, good. How you feeling? You know. And the doctor said, well, to be honest with you, it's allergy season, and it's been crazy with the allergies. I've been sneezing, and I have itchy, watery eyes and the whole bit. And I said to my doctor, you know, if you're suffering from allergies, what hope is there from your doctor? Take something!
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Makes me a little nervous when even my doctor is sick.
Whatever.
That just doesn't bode well. I don't know what bode means. It doesn't bode well. Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm serious. Wouldn't kid you about something like that. No, I wouldn't. I would not kid you. Hey, that's not yours. Hey, welcome to the program. How you doing? Good to be with you. Yeah, I mean, when my doctor says he isn't feeling well, I don't really like that. It's like, you're a doctor. You shouldn't be sick. That's like having a financial planner as Bob, how you doing? Fine, Ron, but I lost a lot of money yesterday. No, you can't tell me that. You're my financial planner. Don't tell me you lost money. I don't have any faith in you now. That's like getting into calling an Uber and the car shows up and the guy behind the wheel, he says, drive me to the airport. No, I don't know how to drive. I'm sorry. I can pick you up, but I don't know how to drive. Sorry. But you're an Uber driver. You're supposed to know how to drive. That's like taking your car to the dealership to be fixed. You know, your car's not running well. And you call the guy up, or the girl, I'm sorry to be sexist. And you say, have you fixed my car yet? Nah, I don't know how to do that. I'm sorry. I don't know how to fix the car. What do you mean? You're an auto mechanic. Yeah, but I can't. I don't know how to do this. What are you talking about? That's like going to a strip club. You pay for a lap dance. All right, let's have the lap dance. I don't know how. I can't move my body. I don't know how to do that stuff. What are you talking about? You're a stripper. I assume that's what they say. I don't know. Anyway, welcome to the program. How are you doing? Good to be with you. All right. You need to get to know me. I have a problem right now. I do. I don't like politics. I do a radio show, and every once in a while you have to talk politics because it's what you're supposed to do. It's like an auto mechanic. You're supposed to fix cars. All right, Ron, you've used that example so much. Enough. Okay, right, but I guess I think you get my point now. You get my drift. So I don't like to talk politics, but sometimes I have to. But I am really annoyed and concerned about this Donald Trump thing. I am sick of seeing his face. Every station I turn to on television, they've got a story about this man. Get out of my life, Mr. Trump. You're invading my lifestyle. Get out of here. You're on every television show. You're in every newspaper ad. I go to the internet and it's all about you. Get out of my life, will you? I don't like you. You're ignorant. You're egotistical. You're crazy. You're nuts. You've got every single psychological deformity ever created by the mental illness labs. There's something wrong with you, Donald. Do you know that? Do you understand that? All right, see, I'm getting a little upset now. I don't like this man. He's a con artist. He's a horrible man. Some of you are voting for him because you say that he's against the establishment. Yeah, he's against the establishment. That's why he has all his money, because he's so much against the establishment. Yeah, that's right. He is the establishment, you moron. So many times he is thrown in my face. For example, I live in a nice town in Massachusetts, and I was driving down the street in the middle of the town, and there's a gigantic poster on a building, and this guy is apparently he's the owner of the building or the owner of the property, and he's trying to lease office space out of his property. So he's got a big sign that says for lease, and then he's got the phone number. Okay, that's fine. Under that, there's another sign connected to it that says Trump. And it pissed me off. Why are you introducing your politics into someone leasing your office space? And I don't want to see this. There's no election going on right now. It's not until November. There are no other elections going on for this thing until November. So why is he putting up Trump signs? It's offending me. I can't even drive down the street. I don't want to see this man's name in my face. I don't want to see his face on television. I don't want to hear about him. Leave me alone. So I called the town hall of where I live. And they answered the phone, and I said, is there some type of ordinance about somebody putting up signs for an election that isn't even occurring yet, that is over half a year away? And the people at the town hall efficiently answered by saying, I don't know, what are you calling me for? You're the town hall. Is there an ordinance against doing that?
I don't know. Why don't you call the police department?
I said, all right, I will. So I called the police department, being very careful not to call the 911. You know, it's an emergency. Is there an ordinance? No. Yeah. So I called the business line of the police department, and some officer answers the phone. And he was kind of short with me. He was, it wasn't very friendly to me. Just very matter of fact. And I don't like being talked to in a very matter of fact manner. I like some type of conversation camaraderie. You know, I'm asking a question. I'm not mad or anything. Be pleasant to me. So I said, is there an ordinance in this town against putting up signs for a candidate, and there isn't even an election nearby here? And the officer says, hold on. So I don't know, maybe he's checking the book of ordinances or something, because I don't think people like me call the police department a lot. You know, usually they call if there's like a murder or a cat stuck in a tree. Those are probably the two top calls. So he comes back on the phone about 30 seconds later, and he says, sir, all of a sudden. He says, sir, a property owner can put anything they want on their property. I said, even if there's not an election and they're putting up things to advertise people, even if it says, sir, a person that owns a property has a right to put anything on their property whatsoever as far as signs are concerned. So even if it's a huge sign, is there any ordinance against the size of the... He says, sir, now I think he's going to come over to my house and arrest me or something because I'm bothering him. He says, sir, a property owner can put any article on their lawn that they wish. I say, okay, what about a gigantic swastika or something of, sir, a person could put anything on. And then he started getting really like pissed at me. So, okay, fine, thank you. And I hung up. So apparently in the town that I live in, you can put anything on the lawn whatsoever. So if I had the balls, I would challenge that and put some crazy shit on my lawn and see what happens. But I think I've got better things to do with my life. I think I do, but I'm not sure. You know who Mark Cuban is? He's that one of the guys on Shark Tank. He's a billionaire. And he's fairly young for a billionaire, although they're getting younger these days. And he's on Shark Tank. You're probably familiar with him. He owns the Dallas Mavericks, but who doesn't? He actually knows Donald Trump. He's had business dealings with him. He's had lunch with him. Ooh, what'd you have? What'd you eat? Here's what Mark Cuban says about his friend Donald Trump. By the way, he refers to Donald Trump as his frenemy. This is a word that we've made up here in our English language that really has no meaning whatsoever. A frenemy. So he's a friend and he's an enemy. So like Donald Trump, is he your friend, Mr. Cuban? Yeah. Is he your enemy? Yeah. So your friends? No. And he's your no. He's my frenemy. Stop it. Just stop it. Apparently, Mr. Cuban does not care for Mr. Trump. This is what Mark Cuban says about Donald Trump, knowing him quite well. And I think this is the line of the month. I love this comment by Mark Cuban. He says, Donald Trump, there's that guy who'll walk into the bar and say anything to get laid. That's Donald Trump. I love it. I love it. That is Donald Trump. He'll say anything in the bar to get laid. It's true. He says, that's Donald Trump to a T, but it's all of us who are going to get fucked is what he actually said. Cuban said during an interview at the Skybridge Alternatives conference in Las Vegas, this is this past Thursday night. He says, we go way back and it's a love-hate relationship, says Mark Cuban. He says, everybody's got that friend that you just shake your head at. He's that guy who'd get drunk and fall over all the time and just say dumb shit all the time. But he's your friend. I get that. I've had friends in my life, or friends. I've had friends in my life who are total idiots, total assholes, yet they're still my friends. I dump them eventually, but there is a period of time where they're friends that are crazy. Mark Cuban says, that's not a literal description. He says, Trump can be embarrassing, but he famously doesn't drink alcohol, so he's not likely to fall over drunk. However, Cuban went on to say, he's offering Hillary Clinton advice. I guess he has offered her advice on how to run against Trump. And his advice is, get a running mate like myself, Mark Cuban. He says to Hillary Clinton, Mark Cuban says, I would get a vice presidential candidate who's someone like me, who would just throw bombs at Donald. And I would be like, Donald, I like you, we're friends, but you're a goddamn airhead. This is what Mark Cuban says. Cuban praised Trump for tapping into the concerns of many ordinary Americans, but said that he did not have solutions for the problems that he himself had identified. He says, being empathetic is one thing, and that's good. But given the office he's running for, President of the United States, trying to come up with a solution is even more important, and I don't think he can do that. Moving beyond politics, well, that was it, pretty much about politics. That's an interesting idea. Donald Trump, by his supporters, is considered to be smart really solely because he's a successful billionaire businessman. And successful in quotes, because Donald has declared bankruptcy for his companies four times in his business career, which has almost been always. So he's declared bankruptcy before, but his success is being able to bounce back from bankruptcies. No, it's not. His success is being obstinate, in your face, and annoying to the point where he knows how to manipulate the system in order to get what he wants. This is who we're voting for, a man whose basic success is being able to manipulate the system to get what he wants. Okay, so Mark Cuban actually said to Hillary Clinton, apparently, get your vice presidential running mate to be a successful businessman. That way you can counter Donald Trump's Trump card. And Mark Cuban was not really offering himself, but he was saying, someone like me, says Mark Cuban, who is as successful as Donald Trump, would be a great running mate for Hillary Clinton, because it could be in your face, Donald Trump. Now, what Mark Cuban is missing, in a way, which he didn't necessarily, is that Donald Trump indeed has tapped into people's dissatisfaction of government as it is and the establishment as it is. And Mark even alluded to that in what I've just read to you. So it's almost like Trump's supporters don't even care who Donald Trump is or even what his policies are. They don't even care about the policies. They don't care about that, which makes them a little bit below the line of rational. All Trump supporters apparently care about, and correct me if I'm wrong, Trump supporter, is the fact that he's anti-establishment and he isn't owned by anybody. No, what you're not understanding is Donald Trump thinks he owns everybody. Donald Trump is not owned by anybody. No, he isn't. But he's got the ego to think that he owns everybody. If he's annoyed with you like a schoolyard bully, he will cut you down and hurt you and make you bleed. And then after he's done that, he says, but I like the guy. He's really a good guy. You blow my mind, Donald. You just blow my mind. Nobody knows where this man is at. All right, I don't want to talk politics anymore because I'm even boring myself. So let's move on, shall we? Okay, I digress. Colleen Cruzo joins us on the other side of this short little break. She's a songwriter. She's very talented. You will love her. We'll be right back after this.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Colleen Cruzo joins us now. She's a songwriter and performer, and we're celebrating the release of some of her two original tracks. How many tracks do you have?
The two singles that I dropped this week, yeah. Show Me and Numb, are off of my upcoming EP called Timeless, which drops this summer.
Very cool. How'd you get into the business?
you know, I've been singing and dancing and songwriting since I was a kid. It's something that I've really always loved to do. It's kind of been my main focus my whole life. I went off to college and moved back to Houston. I'm from Houston, Texas. And I linked up with an old friend and my former manager and went in and recorded a single called Give and Take that ended up being on Houston radio for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And that really opened a ton of doors for me.
Wow, that's fantastic. Is your music has a connection to people's lives, I found.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And they're kind of like ballads in a sense in that way.
Yes, I definitely try to be as relatable as possible when I go in and I write. Write about my personal experiences, things I've been through, things I'm going through, or maybe something a friend is going through. Right. And I just try to write songs to help people to get through something. You know, I want them to be able to connect and relate when they listen.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. And you, so this is just experiences that you have and your friends have. Does it come to you like when you're driving, or do you sit down and say, I'm going to write a song now?
It comes to me at the most random times, when I'm driving, when I'm falling asleep, when I'm in the shower.
And does it come to you through the vocals and the message, or does it come to you through something that's in your head, some type of a tune or something?
It can be both. You know, sometimes I'll see something, I'll be watching a movie, or I'll be listening to another song, and I'll say, oh, wow, you know, maybe I can, you know, there's a concept here that I like.
Yeah.
Or sometimes, like, you know, I'm in the shower and a melody will come to me and I'll start humming and get my phone and try to record it really quick.
While it's still in there, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you play any instruments?
I don't. I wish my parents would have made me stick to piano. I started piano at 12 and stayed with it for a couple of years, and, you know, I just didn't stick with it.
So, you know, what's fascinating about that is a lot of artists sit down at an instrument and they work it out, but you, it's like it's all going on in your head.
Yeah, and then, you know, the producers I work with are all musicians, so... Uh-huh. I can call them, I can send them a voice note and say, hey, I have an idea. Uh-huh. And then when we go into work, they'll pull out the guitar or the piano and we'll work it out that way.
Wow. So your head is your instrument.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow. I think that's you got a title for an album there.
Yeah, that's okay. Kind of cool. I like that.
Okay, I like that too. I don't want any remuneration for that. That's a free idea. Free idea to you. Okay. Wow, it's fascinating. I'm always fascinated by songwriters and people who write books and things like that, because things just come out of the blue and then everybody enjoys something that came up in your head. It must be very rewarding in that way.
It is definitely a great feeling. It feels good to be able to get it out, and then, you know, when you do get it out and it becomes something that people gravitate to, it's great. You know, because sometimes you have ideas that aren't that great. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but we don't talk about those.
No, of course.
I'm sure there's some companies that made some horrible products, but they don't talk about that.
I'm sure.
Yeah. We created a floor cleaner and it didn't work, but I want to tell you about it. Yeah. Okay. So tell me about the two songs that are being released here. Let's talk about Show Me. What is that about?
Show Me and Numb are both produced by Happy Perez. He's also from Houston, Texas. He's one of my favorite producers. Mm-hmm. Show Me is a more fun, flirty summer jam.
Yeah.
It just talks about wanting more from a man, you wanting to be in a relationship, and that if he wants the same thing, he's going to have to put in time and hard work. And Numb is a more moody, mid-tempo, almost ballad type of song. And it just talks about knowing when the relationship is over, when you're numb, when you're over it, and knowing when to move on.
Yeah, interesting. I do stand-up comedy every once in a while, and I'm very careful not to listen to other stand-up comedians because I don't want to be influenced by anybody else. And but you kind of have to because you're in that business. But at the same time, you don't want anybody to say, "Oh, that sounds like this," you know, because right. that's like a curse for a writer. So how do you balance those two?
You know, I try to listen to lots of genres of music.
Yeah.
Country music is one of my favorite genres just because of the songwriting and the storytelling. Yeah. And so I listen to that a lot just to understand format and to understand how and when and, you know, those types of things. Mm-hmm. I think the best part of being a songwriter and what you have to take is, you know, you take bits and pieces from things, but you have to always be original. You can be inspired, mm-hmm. you know, by somebody else, but you still need to be original.
Yeah, that's the fine line. That's what people seek, that fine line, which I guess you've found that quite easily. It must be quite exciting to have something happening in your head and then later on you actually cut the song and it's like, whoa, this was in my head, and like listen to how it developed, and it's just, that must be incredible.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really fun.
I would get high every day. but that has nothing to do with the music necessarily. Something else. That's my problem. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
All right, so where do we go to enjoy this, to experience this?
I have a website. It's www.colleencruzo.com.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my social media is on there. That's also my Twitter at Colleen Cruzo, my Snapchat, Colleen Cruzo, and my Instagram is at CoCruz. My two new singles are available everywhere, iTunes, Google Play, Tidal. You know, if you have a streaming service, it's available there.
Cool. I'm going to spell your name for everybody so they can visit you at all these different locations.
Okay.
It's a C-O-L-I-N-E, spelled a little bit differently than people might think. C-O-L-I-N-E, C-R-E-U-Z-O-T, C-R-E-U-Z-O-T. And once you visit any one of those factions, then you'll know who she is for sure. Okay. Let's listen, Colleen, to your latest release called Numb.
When it comes to you, I was dumb, now I'm numb. When it comes to you, when it comes to you, when it comes to you, I was dumb, now I'm numb. I was dumb, now I'm numb. Now I ain't got shit to give you, papa. Ain't gon' give me again, nah, nah. Cause now I'm so damn grown up. And I refuse to give a fuck now.
It's like every burger joint that I go to is like, your cheese lover's burger, your bacon lover's burger, your burger lover's burger. What's a guy to do if you just love lettuce?
Well, you're in luck, because Burger Guy is proud to introduce the new Lettuce Extreme. A quarter of a quarter pound of succulent beef piled high with cool, crisp lettuce, iceberg, romaine, bib. It's a lettuce lover's dream, and it's only a Burger Guy.
Thanks, Burger Guy. Now I know where to go to get my lettuce on.
At participating Burger Guy locations for a limited time only. Supersize it with our metric ton of fries and keg of soda for just 12 cents extra. Price, participation, quality, condition, variety, and availability of lettuce may vary.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Hey, those of you that on Fridays and the weekend tune in to hear Tori Lagarde join me, she'll be returning next Friday. So look forward to that if you would, if you could, if you should. That would be wonderful. That'd be great. Hey, if you'd like to get in touch with me, don't bother, because I don't want to hear from you. Although there are ways to do so. You can go to ronvandamshow@gmail.com. That's ronvandamshow@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions for topics that you'd like me to encroach upon, or have comments, you can go there and do it, ronvandamshow@gmail.com. Only kind words, please. Otherwise, I don't care. You can also like me on Facebook. You don't have to love me. Liking me is good enough. Loving me would get a little creepy. You can go to New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. That's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show on Facebook. And visit us there. It's a new Facebook page that we created for the show. And it's being built as we speak. It's there. So join it, follow it, like it, whatever the hell you call that stuff. Would be wonderful in a perfect world if people just shut up and stop talking. The more people talk, the worse it gets. And I'm no exception. That's why I don't do a 3-hour show, because at the end of the 3 hours, you would just never want to hear me again. So I keep it down to like 40 minutes usually, because that's about all I can even take of myself. I used to have a friend who would start every story to make a long story short, and it never would be. It would just go on, and then in the long story that would go on forever, he would continually say, but to make a long story short, and I kept saying, then make it short! Make the story short then. Do what you say. Stop making it long. I don't talk to him anymore because he had what I call verbal diarrhea. He just never stopped talking ever, ever, ever. I like people who every once in a while don't feel like they have to be in conversation. Like if there's a lull in the conversation, then they get very uncomfortable and they just talk about nothing at all, like me. I like it when people are comfortable, so comfortable with each other that they don't have to be saying something continually. It doesn't have to turn into discussion about how nice it is outside. Don't ever have a discussion with me about how nice it is. Hi, Ron, how are you? It's beautiful weather, isn't it? Okay, that's it. Don't start with me with the beautiful weather thing because that means you've got nothing to say and you're just filling time with that. Have some respect for the fact that we don't always have to be saying something. I think kids sometimes get it.
Please be quiet. 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 Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Seriously.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. It's so true. I'm not saying that you should slap people to shut them up. In concept, it's a wonderful thing. But you can't go around slapping people. I don't think. I'll call the local police department and ask them if there's an ordinance against that or not. I don't know that there is or there isn't. Anyway, out of time for today. I'll be back again the next weekday that we encounter. Until then, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, in closing arguments, I wish you peace. After the show is over in about 20 seconds, we ask you to take a short survey. SurveyMonkey is performing this for us to let us know what you think of the show. So please hang on right after this. Question number one, did you enjoy today's program? I'll take that as a yes.
It was unbelievably painful.
Oh.